verses 6 through 9. There's a few words that I really grasped my attention, but these three words really grasped my attention as I was reading, and that is, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. This was also quoted by a psalm that David had penned in Psalm 8, verses 6 through 8 in Psalm 8. As David in this psalm believed that David was a little shepherd boy out tending the flock of his father's sheep, out on the Judean hills. And maybe David was laying down at night and looking up at the moon and the stars. And as he began to gaze up in the great beauty of the heavens itself and how great this Lord Jehovah was. And then as ourself, and we see ourselves and how small that we really are. As we look at the vastness of our country and our world this day, we see the great mountains, the Smoky Mountains, the Rocky Mountains, just in our own country besides the great mountains of the world. And we see the great canyons and all the seas and the great lakes of our country and our world as we grasp upon the country and the world that God has made. Even this little small world that we live in today. And then we look up towards heaven and see the great universe that this God has spoke with his word into existence. And then I look at myself, as David probably looked at himself, as God was guiding him to pen in these words. And he writes, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What are you today that God is mindful of you? What is the reason, what is the cause that God of this great universe will look down upon each and every one of us today is mindful of us? So these verses of scriptures this morning, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, tells us about Jesus Christ, that man was crowned with glory in the Garden of Eden. But he was charged with guilt when he sinned and fell in the Garden of Eden. But I'm here to tell you this day that man can be changed by the grace of God. If there's any goodness today, it's because of Jesus Christ. How God wanted to send his own son in this world, that mankind had fell so far and depraved from the righteous and the holiness of God. But he saw fit to send that darling son for you and for me, and for all the people that's ever been born and ever will be born in this world, that we may have this life, we may have it eternally, that God has done this for us. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? I hope you see Jesus this day. I hope you come to see Jesus this day. I hope you come to worship Jesus this day. That's the only reason that we need to be here, is to worship Jesus. And it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visit him? They made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, should taste death for me and for every man. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you today. The day, Father, is above all other days because we're worshiping you this day, as we should worship you every day. But we want to thank you for this gathering here this morning and the gathering across our nation and our world today as people is worshiping Jesus Christ. How, Father, that you are worthy of all the honor and the glory and the praise that mankind can praise you for. We thank you for the all-powerful and all-knowing God that you are, but mostly for the all-loving God that you sent our way here, the grace and the mercy that we need each day. Father, we just pray that you might work in this service this day, that, Father, hearts need to be changed and lives, Lord, take on a new meaning because of the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the Word of God by the Spirit of God. So we want to thank you today that you might bring glory to your name here in this service and work as you would like to work. Lord, we want to thank you in the precious and the holy name of Jesus. Amen and amen. What is man that thou art mindful of him? David probably thought of his smallness as he looked upon the stars and the heavens, that how small that he really is as a man, as a child, as a boy. But then he probably thought of the briefness of life, that how David, you know, knew how life was passing by. The days passes us by so quickly each day. And you see, the Bible says that our life is nothing but just a vapor, appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. And I think all of us with any age at this time can really understand the vapor of life. But then also the Bible says that we're like flowers, you know, that it blooms in the springtime and then just kind of fades away. As grass grows up and soon, you know, it just withers away. The noonday sun comes up and the shadows kind of melts away. It's so quickly over for all of us, as David would realize, I'm small and life is so brief. And, you know, as myself today, I can realize these things. And, you know, I can hardly believe myself that I'm just 29 years old. Life passed by so quick. It's amazing, isn't it, how fast it passes by. Insignificant, you know, of our size we have today, but the shortness of our life we have in this world. The Bible says, you know, that man is here for a little while. Excuse me. The Bible views man not as Darwin, the origin of the species, but it says the Bible is more important is the destination of the species instead of the origin of. So I'd like for us to look for just a few moments here this morning about man's crown with glory. Man had a special design because God designed mankind as it had all of his nature. Mankind, it says, thou madest him. Not the evolution that we'll be taught today across our world, but it says man was made by God. Thou madest him. God made man and breathed into man's nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The soul is what we are really worth, the worth of our soul. Matthew 16:26 says, for what is man's profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is worth all the stocks and all the bonds and all the money, all the rubies, all the diamonds, all the riches of the world. Your soul will be in existence when the sun, the moon, and the stars fall from their orbit. You will never cease to be. You and your soul will always cease, or never cease to be. So as we think about this endless, if our soul goes on, timeless and dateless a day, people ought to not worry about these things of this old world, but their soul that God has given you. God has given you the greatest thing that you could ever have and entrusted in you, your soul. What would you do? What would you do with your soul today? It's not like this rich lawyer always wanted him a Rolls-Royce automobile. So he bought him a Rolls-Royce automobile, cost several thousands of dollars. Parking his car, and he opened his car door, and another car come by and knocked his door completely off. Oh, he said, oh, my car, oh, my Rolls-Royce. And a man there's watching, he said, sir, you're not to be worried about your car. That thing just snatched your arm off. He said, oh, my Rolls-Royce. I mean, my Rolex. You see, there's a lot of us that's more interested in material things and worldly things across this world. And though you are with a soul, it's going to last forever and ever and ever. Today, man designed by God. But not only that, you know, the dignity of man comes from God. As we think about this, the Holy Spirit of God gives us our dignity. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, when I think about myself, who am I? What am I that God will look down upon me and send the conviction word of God and the Spirit of God to convict me that I was a sinner? Who am I that God would do that? And why would God do that for me? Why did God do that for you? convince me and convict me that I was a sinner and I need to be saved. And the only way that I could be saved is by Jesus Christ and what I put my faith in Him. Why me? God visited Adam in the Garden of Eden, but you see, Adam sinned and God moved out of Adam. The great God of glory designed Adam. The great God desires your company. You say, why? Why? God desires your company. You see, man is in a little box. He's in a box and there's no way for him to get out of this box. He wants to explore God. He wants to meet God, but he's in this box. There's no way a man can get out of this box. He can get him a ladder and climb up the top, but he can't get out of the box. But Jesus Christ came to get in the box with him. He came to visit us. Jesus came to this earth. That was God visiting man whenever Jesus Christ came. There was no way for us to visit God. There was no way for you to reach God. You cannot reach God. There was no way, but Jesus Christ came that you might be able to reach God through Jesus Christ. What is man? You see, man is what God made. And it says, thou art mindful of him. Adam sinned and God moved out. Now, Adam, at that time, without God, he was depraved. He was without God. He was, he was without life. He was dead. And without God, you see, he was without light. He was darkened. He's in the darkness. But God desires our company. The God of glory. The glory looks at you and he says, I want to be with you and I want to come to you this hour. Pleasant Hill, he looks at you right now. He says, I desire you. Everybody in this building, God's looking at you. And just you, he said, he knows your name, you see. And he says, I desire to be with you. If there's a person that's not saved here this morning, the God of mercy and the God of glory desires your company. Why? Because God loves you. God died for you, just you. If you're here today and you're the only one that I'm speaking to, the rest of everybody is saved, but you're the only one that's not saved. God died for you. God wants to be with you. God desires you. God sent the Holy Spirit of God to convict you. God loves you, and he loves your company. Why me, Lord? We are valuable because God loves us. That's the reason we are so valuable. So you see, God loves us so much, but he gave also man the domain. Now, I said in Psalm chapter 8, we read 8, and it says in 6, 7, and 8, a little different than it says in the Hebrews. It says in verse 8, thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hand, thou hast put all things under his feet, all the sheep and the oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the path of the sea. That's Psalmist David talking, and it was recorded in Hebrews chapter 2. That's what man has today. David, understood that man had the dominion at one time over the beast, over the fowl, and over the fish. Man had this at one time. That was Adam's gift. But not today, not under Adam. Because, see, the kingdom authority was glorious given to Adam. But you see, it was legally lost. It was his, but it was legally lost. So it has to be righteously regained by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Glorious given. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it said, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion. And God gave Adam and Eve dominion in the Garden of Eden. Psalms 115 and 16 says, the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Have dominion. God have give this to Adam. But Adam sinned and lost this dominion. And sometimes a little boy I heard was sitting on the doorsteps of the first grade, the first day of school, and his mother gave him a birth certificate to carry to school. And he was sitting there crying, and a teacher asked him, why was he crying? He said, I lost my excuse to be born. That's what Adam done. He lost his excuse that God gave him to be born. But you know what he done? He passed that on to every one of us. Every one of us, he passed that to every one of us this day. The day, the reason that God created him. You see, because this was glorious given to him, but also he was legally lost. Adam sinned and he died spiritually. No longer was he the servant of God, but you see now he was a servant of Satan. He was a slave to Satan. 2 Peter 2 and 19 says, They are the servants of the corruption, for the whom of man is overcome, of the same is brought unto bondage. Whoever that you follow, you are a servant to that man, which is the man of God or his old devil himself. But righteousness regained by Jesus Christ. You know, it says that Adam had the dominion over the beast, the fowl, and the fish. Now, when Jesus Christ come, he come as the second Adam, without sin. You see, and what Jesus Christ done, he done as a man while he is here on this earth for us to understand this. As a beast, he had dominion over the beast. You remember whenever Jesus Christ looked over into Jerusalem and he was coming down, you know what it said? He come, he says, go get me a donkey that never have man ever rode on. Have you men, you know, a lot of us as young boys, we come along, we didn't have a lot of things to play with. We didn't have these four-wheelers, things like that. Sometimes, you know what, we'd get on cows together and we'd get on a little old calf that had never been rode. Or either a little donkey that had never been rode, or a mule that had never been rode. Now, you have some time of your life standing on that animal that's never been rode. But you see, whenever Jesus Christ says, go get one that have never man set upon. And you know that old donkey just sat there and carried Jesus Christ down the slopes of that hill. Without a book, without a whimper, he was under submission of Jesus Christ. He had dominion over the beasts of the fields. But not only that, it says, you know, the fowl of the air. Whenever old Simon Peter was talking, said, oh, Jesus Christ, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll follow you away even to death. And he says, you know what? Before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. Or before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. You know, first time, the rooster crowed. And then after that, you see, Peter had denied him already a third time. He had the time, you know, he just kind of plucked the feathers of that old rooster and he crowed. And, you know, he knew that he had dominion over those fowls of the air. But now the fish of the sea. When they're trying to corner Jesus Christ, says, you know, you need to pay your taxes. Who do you give your money to, the Lord, or you give it to Caesar? You know, I says, Peter, go over there to the fish of Galilee, and you just reach down in the water, and I tell you, fish come jump in your hands, and in your hands there'll be a little coin in the fish's mouth, and that's what it was. You take the coin out of the fish's mouth, and you go give it to Caesar. See, all the fish of Galilee he had control of. Some old fisherman probably lost that coin, was probably crying about it, but you see, it was meant for the Lord. He had dominion over the fish of the sea. Now, you want to know what man is like? Don't look at me. Don't look at the rest of the people in here if you want to know what man looks like. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. If we want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. He was the God-man. That's what we need to look at. Sometimes we preach and get so anxious to prove the deity of Jesus Christ, which he was 100% God and 100% man. But sometimes we fail to see the humanity of Jesus Christ. And when we fail to see the humanity of Jesus Christ while he walked here on this earth, we miss half the blessings and we don't understand the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, for instance, if you have never saw an automobile, you've never saw an automobile, and I want to carry you down to a junkyard. And in that junkyard, you know, they had these big machines. They put them cars in, they just squash them down about a foot high. All right, and I'm going to carry you and I'm going to say, see this car? It's about a foot high. This is a car about a foot high. You never saw a car before. I said, that's a car. Now, have I showed you a car? No, I showed you a wreck. It's been mashed. It's just been junked. All you see really is just a bumper. Now, this time, I want you to notice. I want you to look around at the people here in this building. And I want to tell you what, you just see a bunch of wrecks. Because this is not the way God intended for us to be. That's the reason we're going to have a glorified body. When someone says, oh, that bunch of that sorry so-and-so, that sorry so-and-so, listen, that person is just a wreck just like you and I. Every one of us been through the crash pile of that dump yard or that junkyard. And we're just a bunch of wrecks. This is not what God intended for a human being to be like. We're just a wreck. Look at Jesus. 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 You see, says, you know what? We are made in the image of God. No, we're not made in the image of God. We was made in the image of Adam. Adam was made in the image of God. But see, he was marred and defaced, that image. The Bible don't say that we're made in the image. It said we're made in the image of Adam. Let me read you Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot his son in his own likeness and after his image. Get that? After Adam, because he had marred and wrecked his own body. This civilization today took on Adam's image. Adam was created in the image of God, but he sinned and ruined and wrecked and marred that image. We're taking on the image of Adam that's already been wrecked and ruined. Now we have to be born again to that new image. As we see this new image that Jesus Christ has made for us. And we see in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. But he says, not yet everything is put under him. Man has been corrupted by guilt. His design has been marred, as we find out. But we still see the traces of this dominion. Even if I show you this junk car, and it's just a foot high, there's a trace that we might realize that there's a junk car, there's a trace of that car. Well, you see, in the dominion that God has given mankind, there's still a trace of this dominion that we have. Have you ever saw the circus? Used to, you see a lot of circus, you know what? And mankind can tame wild animals. And it shows you where man has tamed a lion. And then something goes wrong, and then the lion kills the trainer. You see, man has this great big ton elephant. And they train these elephants to do all type of things. And then sometimes the elephant turns and kills a trainer. Down in SeaWorld, where they have these great killer whales. And they train these killer whales. And you see on television that that's a dominion they have. And they have this train and ability to train animals and train all types of fish. The dolphins. But these killer whales turn and kill the trainer. We don't have that control. There's an element of that dominion, but they cannot control that. See, there's an element that we might create an airplane, but we use that to kill people with. We have the element there to create and split the atom bomb, but then we make the atom bomb and kills hundreds of thousands of people. We have that dominion to create this television and the internet and computer, but look what it turns to. And look what we use it for today. Why man's mentality, the power, has outrun his moral breaks. His moral breaks. His design has been marred by sin. And we think about what man is. Man's own invention has created a Frankenstein. Whenever I was small... We used to go to the movie, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello meets Frankenstein. Whoo, that thing would scare me to death. I'd be under the seat and close my eyes and everything else whenever that Frankenstein was just about to get Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. He'd just about to get him, you know, and he'd leave and run. Whoo, it scared me to death. I wouldn't sleep a bit that night. You want man's invention? Here today we have created a Frankenstein, and if God don't intervene, we got enough of power to annihilate the whole human race right here already. We have created a Frankenstein of greed in our country. And I'm going to tell you that greed is going to devour us. We have a Frankenstein of all different shapes and kind of this world we live in. If we're not careful, it's going to devour mankind. If Jesus Christ don't come back, we see Jesus. But you see, man can be changed by grace. Man can be changed by grace there in verse 9, but we see Jesus. I want to tell you this morning, if you ever hear a sermon and you don't see Jesus, it was a bad sermon. And I don't care who preached it. If you come to worship at any church and you don't see Jesus, you did not worship. If you read your Bible and you don't see Jesus, I want to tell you, you missed the message. It's about Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ suffered as a man. It says, for the suffering, verse 9, of death, this suffering, Jesus Christ was a God-man. But you see, he created, there did no miracles on the cross or even while he was being tempted by old Satan. But he defeated Satan as God, but not as God, but as man. And he had two weapons that he left for us today. The two weapons he defeated Satan is the same weapons that we need today. And that is the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God that he used upon Satan himself. Jesus suffered for everyone. All the sins of all the world for all the time was compressed and distilled upon him. He died 10,000 deaths and hundreds of thousands of deaths. Jesus Christ suffered an eternity of hell for me, an eternity of hell for you. Jesus Christ did this as man because he did not even want to die. And maybe the whole thing is wrapped up in these three little words, nevertheless, not my will but thy be done. The destiny of mankind was wrapped up in nevertheless. Jesus Christ, nevertheless, you see that nevertheless, he suffered my hell. So amazing, so divine, my soul is all. As I was thinking about this, as this sermon was being meditated upon, and I thought like old David did, I look at the vastness of this world and the great God and the loving God, and I said, he's done so much for me and my soul. I'm so ashamed of myself that I do such a poor job of being a Christian. How about you? How about you? Jesus is man's to do. Verse 14 and 15, I didn't read. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. Jesus Christ took the power from old Satan. You know, Satan had the power of death because, you know, Adam gave it to him. You know, it says the wages of sin is death. You know, when a person sinned, and we are sinners, you see, you come in this world as a sinner, and you sin by choice. You know what old Satan says? He don't have to lie about it. You know what he says? That person right there sinned. That person right there sinned. Last week, yesterday, today, this morning, that person, the devil said, he's accused her brother, that person sinned. You see what she done? He done. They thought what he did. That person sinned, God. The devil's speaking to God now. He has access to God. And then Jesus Christ steps in and says, Father, he says, look at my hands. Father, don't look at him. Look at me. See, God turns his direction from that sinner is me that failed God so many times. And God of the universe don't see me as that sinner, but he sees me through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He sees me then as righteousness. Not for what I am, how I lived, of the goodness of that cup that I pour into this, but he sees me as he sees his son as a perfect Lamb of God. Oh, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I see Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 and 21 says, for since by man came death, that was O Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead, that is Jesus Christ. He said, it's finished, paid in full. Adam's sin became a slave to Satan. Then the slave lost all legal rights. You see, as a slave was sold into slavery, he had no legal rights. So Adam lost his inheritance. As Adam lost his inheritance, just like a slave had a wife and 10 kids, or five, or however many he had. But when that person was sold into slavery, not only did he lose his rights, but all the family lost their rights. You are a family of Adam to start with. He lost his rights by sin. So he lost it through every one of us in the family of Satan. We was born that way. We had no legal way to gain back our relationship with Jesus Christ or the Lord until Jesus Christ steps in. Galatians, it says 4:3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world as children of Satan. But then we see the the man that sympathized with us because he is a great sympathizer with mankind. Hebrews 16, 17, 18, and it says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angel, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid them that are tempted." People is going through a lot of sorrow and difficulties and even funerals. I had one this past week and see people in sorrow. And a lot of times you kind of feel with them. And sometimes you might even say, "I know how you feel." But really, do you? Do you really know how they feel? Only Jesus Christ really knows how they feel. Hebrews 4 and 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but in all points are tempted like we are, but without sin." I love that old song, "What a friend we have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. See, man was crowned with glory, but he lost that, and he is charged with guilt. But I tell you, man can be changed by the grace of God. Adam was innocent. I'm going to tell you, you have gained more in Jesus Christ than Adam ever lost. You see, Adam was innocent, but I'm going to tell you, if you save, you are righteous. Adam had lost his relationship. And you can never lose our relationship with God. But we see not yet all things put under his feet. But just keep looking at Jesus Christ, and it will be. The meek shall inherit the earth. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus. And I pray this morning that you've seen Jesus. It will come with a song of invitation this morning. I hope that the Lord has done a work in your life this hour. And took you by the hand, and you have a little closer walk with Jesus. Whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart today, if you have not saved, the day needs to be the day you need to come forth. Whatever it is that God has placed upon your heart, you need to do it now. You see, because today is a day of salvation. Today is a day when you need to come to Jesus Christ, because you're not promised tomorrow. There's no promise of the morrow. Whatever God has placed upon your heart, you let it be known by coming forth at this time as we stand and sing our song.